Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 77.
And if a spooky, scary skeleton of mine has sent you our way, welcome, because it's finally October.
Spooktober.
The Halloween month is here, everybody.
Yep.
So we're doing a Davidsode this week, and it's kind of a spooky story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did say we were going to switch up this month so that you could get something put out on its anniversary.
Yep.
So.
Which I thought about, I was like, oh, how it's in, like, inconsiderate is that? Well, there's other horrible events we talk about every time on their anniversaries, and we were given the opportunity to do this, just being the same thing.
Yep.
So, but then you can think about, hey, this is what it was like that day here when that happened.
Yeah.
But also, earlier this week was International Podcasters Day, which was also 2 years for us. Can you believe it? 2 years already?
No, it doesn't feel like 2 years.
Nope. It's like once we hit, you know, upload, everything's been going 100 miles an hour ever since then.
Pretty much.
And we've went and done some things that we never thought we would do. We met some great people also from both ends of the, you know, our country. You know, we met people from Oregon, then they passed through our area, and people
Oregon?
From, yeah, all from the Phantasmagoric Oddities Emporium.
Phantasmagoric.
I said it. Close enough, the Poe. I'm just going to continue on going with the Poe because I can never remember it. But anyway.
Vermont.
Yeah, we have our Kevin friends, or AKA the dog show in Vermont. They drove all the way here to Indiana to meet with us and some other podcast hosts at one of their live shows, and did a ghost hunt with him at an old jail, which I would like to go there again and have more time with less people. And
way less people.
Do the one thing I know you won't do.
Nope, won't.
Sit in a solitary cell by myself.
Mm-mm, will not.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
I don't know if you ever heard the conversation with Kevin C. with that one.
Probably.
When he was in there, when he asked, when the his spirit box that he was using said, I see you, and he asked, where are you? And it said, next to you. And he's like, nope. All I hear muffled through that thick, heavy-ass fucking door. So I opened it right away, and I was like, you already? He's like, yeah, other than it said, right next to you.
Yeah.
So we did all that. And also, you know, in our first year, we did another investigation at the Bell Mansion, which is, quote-unquote, our home haunt, because that was our first one. And there's not really anywhere near us that does that kind of thing. There is, but I never looked into it.
There's always the one in South Bend that we could go to.
Yeah, you know my opinion on that one.
Mine.
You know, as much as I dug and poked and prodded through the internet about that one, when I found out the real reasonings behind that, you know, it's like, oh, how do you fund a historical mansion renovation? You say it's haunted. But, you know, well, it's haunted. Why don't you come see it? Why don't you just let me come do it on myself without giving you any money? If you're going to back it up, if it is, I shouldn't have to pay you. But also, you know, with me wanting to figure that out about that place, you can't find any evidence anywhere about this place other than one specific person, which I'm not going to mention by name on here.
Right.
Because you Google anything, and, like, the County Historical Society says there's, like, been no actual reports of that place being haunted whatsoever.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. That dude lost his credibility to me when he made a YouTube video that he was picking up spirits in the haunted Victoria's Secret. Just stupid.
Right. Yeah, there is other little things in his videos. Yeah. I'm like, it's too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
no thanks.
But anyhow, and some other people I've talked to about said individuals said they're not on the best terms with other locations that we know of.
Oh, I wonder why.
Within driving distance of us.
Yeah.
But they don't know why. They only heard little bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. And also, one of the biggest tips I got from one of our other podcast friends, Justin Rimmel, the Mysterious Circumstances podcast, is to, if you see how some kind of building suddenly become haunted within the last 5 years, be very skeptical of it.
Yeah.
So that's why I was very skeptical about that place in the beginning. Because if there's one person I'm going to listen and believe about over that stuff, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, somebody well known paranormal wise. But anyhow.
Right.
But, you know, we've been heard all over the world, and I didn't think about pulling numbers and whatnot. But I know people have listened to us in Belgium from the very beginning, and they still mm-hmm. do. And the Middle East and Turkey and
Ireland finally,
you know, in the great north of Iceland and Greenland,
all over Australia,
yep.
Literally some in Japan.
Yeah, literally you name a country we've been, or a country continent, somebody is there has heard us. It might be yep. you know, a U.S. military base or whatnot, but it still counts.
Yep.
But you know, it's still chasing that Antarctica one, but that'll probably never happen.
Probably not.
But we still got that one in Moscow, still wanting to know if it's you, pointy boy Putin.
Pointy boy.
So, with enough of that rambling going on, let's get this going with our on this day for October 2nd.
October 2nd.
But first, actually, before that, you didn't ask me the question.
I don't need to. It's your episode. You're going to go into it after this anyways.
Fine. What do you have for us this week, David? Oh, good thing you asked, David, because I'm not sure how to put this, what it is. It's like part true crime, Ginger. I didn't ask you. It's part true crime, part urban legend, and just an incident all overall. The Mantoon Mad Gasser.
Never heard of it.
I was looking into another semi-well-known-ish October story that somebody beat me to a week. Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
He knows exactly what story I'm talking about. So I might still do that this year.
Yeah.
Oh, and not only that, you know, then we started our Twitch mm-hmm. within the last year when, you know, oh, we're going to only do, you know, fun things all the time. Then it's like, I started, you know what? I'm playing a game. Why don't I just get on Twitch and just stream it?
Yeah.
And then look at that. And now we're up to like 115, 117 followers on there now.
Yeah.
You know, if you're interested, because I'm playing all the sorts of spooky games you may or may not be interested in, other than, you know, doing some community games, come check us out. Just get on Twitch and do macabre_emporium. And that's our Twitch username. You'll find us there Wednesday through Friday, generally, from 8 p.m. Eastern to 11 o'clock Eastern. Friday sometimes is longer if I feel like it. But anyway, so now with all that said, now we're going to do our On This Day. And I'm leaving all that goofy shit in there.
Okay.
Even with my monologue with myself. So yeah. For On This Day, October 2nd, photographer Ann Leibovitz was born in Waterbury, Connecticut in 1949. Leibovitz's most well-known photograph is of John Lennon and Yoko Ono that she took on the day he was killed, and later on, this photo was used on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. And said photograph is like he's like in the fetal position, like completely naked,
mm-hmm.
and laying and kissing her on the cheek. That's the photograph. Is that the one I was thinking it was? I was thinking that portrait of them in black and white up close is the one I was thinking of, but I looked it up and I was like, wow, I was way off.
When you see her face, can you hear her in your head?
No. So the younger bad. One, younger Yoko, no. Older one, yes, I can hear that screaming.
Bad all around from the beginning to now.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying the younger photographs of her, I don't hear the voice because that one video clip that keeps going around now as memes is the one I hear. So I associate it with the photographs of her now, not her younger. In 2001, the TV show Scrubs premieres on NBC and runs for 9 seasons.
That was a show I never got into.
Never, I didn't either. The Everly Brothers are awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame at 7000 Hollywood Boulevard in 1986. Some of their hit songs include All I Have to Do Is Dream, Wake Up Little Susie, and Bye Bye Love.
I know one of those.
I'm sure you know all three of them if you actually heard them.
I know Wake Up Little Susie for sure.
It's like Bye Bye Love, Bye Bye Loneliness or Happiness or something like that's the next line. In 1980, 38-year-old Muhammad Ali comes out of a 2-year retirement to challenge undefeated world heavyweight champion Larry Holmes at Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas. Ali is pounded unmercifully for 10 rounds before his corner throws in the towel. Little Folks, created by Charles M. Schulz, is published in 1950 and would later on become Peanuts. Little Folk was only published in 7 nationwide newspapers before becoming the Peanuts And at its peak, it was published in over 2,600 newspapers.
Damn.
Fun fact about that, one of the local fire departments here actually had a copyright permission from the Schultz Legacy to put Snoopy on their fire trucks, but when they remodeled the station, the copyright got, quote-unquote, lost. They think it was stolen because of having his actual signature on it of some sort.
That sucks. Yeah. I remember you telling me about that.
In 1981, Logitech was founded and is one of the leading manufacturers worldwide of computer accessories. So if you're listening to us, I know at least we've all at least had a Logitech keyboard or mouse or some.
Definitely
or
something a like mouse. That.
Like, not me right now at all. Or a couple.
What's this one?
I already can see one. I can see a Logitech device from where I'm sitting here in the office right over there, a headset. And the mouse to your laptop, I bet.
Ha
ha! That's just an off-brand, but it probably was made for them and just rebranded for that PC manufacturer. And American revolutionary Samuel Adams died at the age of 81 in 1803 in Boston, Massachusetts. You know what I'm talking about?
Samuel Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Very important historical figure door in the United States.
Yeah.
And the beer company is after named after him because he was a brewer himself.
That's what I figured. It wasn't actually his line of beer.
No, I didn't assume that either. There is our on this date for October 2nd and all the other weird rambling thoughts to get out of our head before we get going here. So
yay, done.
So are you ready to get started then?
Yes.
All right, let's get going. So I don't know, like I said earlier, I don't really know how to classify the Mantoon Mad Gasser.
Uh-huh.
Because part true crime, part urban legend, so to speak. I mean, it is an incident of some sort, so I don't know what to really call this one, but it felt like this kind of fit, you know, the October thing.
Spooktober.
So before we get to learning about the Mad Gasser, Mantoon, Illinois, which is located 180 miles south of Chicago and covers 11 square miles compared to the city that we live in is 16 and a half square miles.
So it's not too much smaller.
No. During World War II, the town of Mantoon, Illinois had a population of about 15,000. And I totally forgot to see what it is today to see how much growth there was.
There was a boom in population. It's more than 15,000, I'm sure.
It's 15,001 there. I just fact checked myself. I guess.
That's not a fact.
It's a bullshit fact I just made up. As other some shows would say, I was just shovelcocking.
Shovelcocking?
Yep, that's what they call just making up bullshit on the spot. It was mostly agricultural, producing soybeans, corn, and also livestock, along with other various industrial manufacturing as well. I tried to find out what type, like what leading manufacturing was, couldn't find anything on it. Mantoon also homed an army base for pilot training during World War II. Before the Mad Gasser, the crime rate was very low in Mantoon and was considered a quiet and safe place to live, so it almost sounds like it was another pleasant town USA, just like Chowchilla 2 weeks ago, until August 31st, 1944. And this is when the first attack would happen over on Grant Avenue, when Urban Rafe was awoken in the middle of the night by a strange odor. He felt weak and nauseated, and he would begin vomiting from the sweet odor that he was smelling. And his first thoughts was that the gas might have been left on a stove down in the kitchen. And when his wife attempted to get up to check to see if the gas was still on, but she was unable to leave the bed because she was starting to suffer partial paralysis.
Oh.
Said the following day or the same night. It wasn't clear, but a similar incident did happen next to their home. An unnamed mother and daughter were also suffering some of these same effects, too. The mother was woken up from sounds of her daughter coughing in the middle of the night, and they suffered from the same effects as...
Like the partial paralysis? Yep,
and the other symptoms of...
Right.
Like also burning around the mouth or in the throat as well, too. On September 1st, at least 4 gas attacks have happened in total at this point. But this would also be the first time one of these would be reported by the news. So this is like the only real well-documented case of the Mantoon Mad Gasser is of Eileen Kearney on Marshall Avenue. She also did report smelling a sweet, strong odor around 11 p.m. that night, but she dismissed it as it being the flower she had outside of her bedroom window. But as it got stronger, she said she would lose feeling in her legs, just like the other family and that had already been a guest at this point. She would also call to her sister, and she also noticed the sweet odor smell in the air. And then she determined it was coming from the direction of the open bedroom window, which where Eileen dismissed it from the flowers that she had outside.
Yeah.
They did call the police, but couldn't find any evidence of a prowler. But her husband that had returned home from a shift as a taxi driver around 12:30 a.m., he did say he did see a man hiding near a window of a home nearby, but he wasn't able to catch him. He did describe him as a tall man in dark clothing and a knit cap. This would become the common description from most people when giving their description of the said man gasser of this town. Just like the race before, Eileen Kearney suffered also a burning sensation on her lips and in her throat and the partial paralysis going on.
It's got to be terrifying to just be like laying in bed and then all of a sudden you can't move your damn legs.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, your arms.
Oh, yeah. So when Eileen Kearney got gassed, we'll say, instead of attacked, the police believe that this was a motive for robbery because the Kearneys did have a large sum of money in their home, and they believe that someone may have been seeing her and her sister counting it through an open window because they probably, nice day, let's have the windows open, didn't give never thought about it. There's no crime in her town. They're not going to give a second thought, you know, about that. But somebody were like, oh, look at that. I'm going to come back later.
Yeah.
Several more attacks would end up happening over the following nights, but the first possible evidence of a man gasser would be found at the home of Carl and Beulah Cords on North 21st Street on September 5th. The Cords would find a white cloth about the size of a man's handkerchief on their porch. Beulah would pick it up and smell it and would become ill. She said it felt like an electric shock, and she could feel her face swelling and burning in her mouth and throat, similar to Eileen Kearney, and she also began to vomit. She too would also feel the partial paralysis in her legs like other victims did. Beulah concluded that the mad gasser, since I'm sure this is the fifth day this has happened, that word is getting around town already, so everybody's already on edge. It's like, am I next or whatever?
I bet.
So she concluded that this cloth was left to knock out their family dog, as he was known to sleep on the front porch. Well, on the porch, it didn't say front, back, side porch, whatever, so that they can make entry into their home without being noticed. Police also did find a tube of lipstick and a skeleton key that was described as well-worn. The cloth was tested, but the police found nothing on this cloth they found nothing on it. So it doesn't make any sense as to why, when she smelled it.
Yeah, why she smelled the sweet smell and then was like partially paralyzed.
Yep.
But the police found nothing
on it when they analyzed it. But this is also 1944. They didn't have like the forensics like they do now.
I mean, like, did they sniff it?
Well,
that would have been a surefire way.
Well, they probably did at that point. They're like,
here you go, rookie.
Hey, probably come here.
Tell me if this smells like poison.
Right. So the total amount of days that there would be attacks is approximately 13 days, starting on August 31st to September 13th.
Damn.
21 attacks would end up happening, and as these attacks did go on, the residents of Mantoon started demanding something to be done to City Hall, and some started to make up their own posses to try and stop the said mad gasser, but authorities suggested not to do so, that nobody would be shot by a frightened homeowner on edge. Police also suggested that people stay out of residential areas unless they had a reason to be there. If you don't live there, don't be there.
Yeah, I mean, because, that's how it should be anyways.
But because all these attacks were happening in residential areas after dark. So they're like, the business areas are fine. Just don't be in residential areas if you don't need to be over there.
Yeah.
But even though I said by the 13th, by September 12th, they were getting so many false alarm calls that they had to reduce the priority of the gassers reports. And they announced that the entire incident was mostly due to high anxiety being felt from the ongoing war.
Really?
Yeah. And everyone's on edge, you know. And look how everybody was after 9/11 happened. It's like, is there going to be another attack?
It's not going to paralyze you, though.
Right. But I'm just saying, for what we can, you know,
fair,
relate to for ourselves, is that everybody was on edge and anxious because of all the attacks in New York City.
Yeah.
In our lifetime, is like, is it going to happen again so soon after that happened or whatever? After the police made this announcement, the gas report started to decline, even though on September 13th, Bertha Birch added more to the description of the mad gasser by saying it was a woman dressed as a man, because of one of the pieces of evidence they did find was footprints, and they were woman footprints and underneath a window and some cut window screens.
How do they know they're woman's footprints?
Probably by the size of the foot.
Men can have small feet.
Right. But if it's a woman's shoe,
men can put on a woman's shoe.
True, but this was 1944. They were like, oh, yep, it's a woman. Look at the fucking shoes there, guy.
Okay.
You don't think about things like that, do you?
No, I just...
It's like you have 2024 thinking in this story for 1944.
I try. I really do.
Well, they would have used some much more awful language if that's like, unless it's, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know, things that we said about in the Howard Unner episode.
Yeah.
And I've only said those for historical significance. So what caused these gas attacks?
What did cause the gas attacks?
What do you
think
caused them?
I don't know.
Aliens. That's actually one of the answers they gave. They believe it was aliens.
I thought you were just fucking with me for a second.
I was. Aliens. I was. Okay, so I technically wasn't at first. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to reveal one of the possibilities that they gave right away off the bat. She's going to fall for it. So, yes, they. So one of the things people that have researched into this has said it was aliens. But the more logical explanations was more people that suffered from it, because there's not actually really that many reports of people actually being attacked and having these symptoms, is that Thomas V. Wright, the commissioner of public health of Mantoon, said that the number of gassy incidents was likely caused by mass hysteria. The fear of the first attacks made people more on edge, fearing their home would be next, as they were kind of randomly reported around town, because I'm like, I looked at the list of them and they're not
just real sporadic.
Yeah. I mean, there's like one or two like right next to each other, but then it's like another whole other street away from where it was before.
Yeah.
So it's almost like as if like how Richard Ramirez was attacking randomly over LA.
Mm-hmm. But again, anxiety and hysteria is not going to make you go. It's not good. You're not going to be paralyzed.
Right, but there wasn't that many people that actually were paralyzed. They were just like, oh, I smell this. The mad gasser must be nearby, is what a lot of it was.
But how many were paralyzed?
Only about 4 to 5 people actually suffered symptoms, if I remember correctly, because I forgot to put the total number down on.
But still, that's 4 or 5 that became partially paralyzed.
And that's all it took for a town of 15,000 people to start losing their shit over this.
No, I understand that. But do we find out what caused the paralyzation in the first place?
They still don't know. Okay. They still don't know today. We're going to jump ahead a little bit. They still don't know today what caused this, because I tried to find an answer to see if they've actually finally solved what caused this, but they just still don't know.
Okay.
They also believe that the first published headline in the Mantoon Journal Gazette, Mrs. Kearney and daughter, first victims, would imply that there might be more gas attacks coming.
So it was them.
Yep, it was the newspaper. So they could sell more headlines. Case closed.
Damn.
In a press conference the police had, they also said that the odors and symptoms were the result of a chemical leak from nearby factories. Atlas Imperial had to put out their own statement due to the statement from the police. In their release statement, they said they only had 5 gallons of carbon tetrachloride in stock, but was contained inside firefighting equipment. But they also did deny quantities of tetrachloroethylene on site.
They denied it.
Yeah, they never specified how much they had. And the reason why it would take, and why they're saying this couldn't come from them, is that because it would take a very large quantity of the industrial solvent, the tetrachloroethylene, to actually make the townspeople sick, and the factory workers would be affected first, and none of them showed any signs or symptoms. Carbon tetrachloride and trichloroethylene both have a sweet odor and that can cause the symptoms reported.
Including the paralyzation.
Oh, all the symptoms reported, both of these chemicals can do that. Which I don't think it could have been, even if it was a carbon tetrachloride, that is actually designed to remove oxygen out of the room, if I remember correctly. Because if you go to like some historical places like Greenfield Village or the streets of yesterday at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, that big red teardrop looking thing on the wall.
I don't remember.
I'm sure I've shown you pictures I pointed out to you. But it's like a big red teardrop looking thing, like upside down.
Uh-huh.
That's full of that carbon tetrachloride inside of it. And it's supposed to make all the oxygen be removed to put out a fire. That's like the earlier versions of a fire extinguisher, you know. Kind of not similar to the two that I have here sitting in the office, because they're now both technically retired. One's actually full and I can't get the top off to empty it. I'm pretty sure it's just full with water, because I've turned it upside down and nothing happens. So those are soda acid. Those, the two here in the office, for those that work, they have to be converted completely upside down for them to operate, because it'll build the soda acid that's in that container is inside it. When you flip it upside down, it mixes with water. It starts to build a pressure, and that's how they worked. The two that are in here, the teardrop ones, you literally just throw it as hard as you can for it to break.
Smart.
But it's not also banned from use for fire suppression because of these things, and it's harmful to the environment. And like I already said, some researchers even concluded that there might be an actual attacker, but that was never caught and goes all the way out to the crazy idea of aliens. And but still today, they are unsure what caused the gas tax in Mattoon, Illinois. But also with that said, and listening to other podcasts about the things our government done, is there the possibility this is one of those early things like MK Ultra?
What's MK Ultra? I've heard the name.
So MK Ultra, like, there's a lot to it. It's basically when the CIA tested large metropolitan areas with aerosoling LSD.
Huh.
Like, they were making it an aerosol and spraying it off the top of buildings in, like, San Francisco.
Getting everybody high.
Yep, just to see what would happen, basically.
Everybody was the most relaxed and fucking happy they've ever been.
So, I mean, no, because there's always been all these nefarious, you know, government experience through, you know, history. There's that. There's the Tuskegee Airmen syphilis issue that everybody knows, and that's why a lot of the African American population, the older generations,
don't trust
doctors and don't trust doctors because of that. You know,
fucking fair though.
Yeah. So, and that's it's a stretch with it, but it's World War II, and you know, CIA and all that doesn't exist yet to that, well, at least to our knowledge that they wouldn't give us, you know, not to say that they, you know, weren't experimenting.
Sorry, that was.
He did not ask for that.
That was such an intrusive thought that won.
Sarah let her intrusive thoughts win with Lugosi sitting on the desk, minding his own business, being a cute as fuck, loafing on the table by the soundboard. And she just smacked him on the butt for no reason.
I don't know. It was just, it was perfect. I don't know. Sorry, Lugosi.
And at least your dad doesn't try and do some dumb shit like that with you. Just hold you and love you all the time, guy.
Yeah, even when you don't want it.
But I don't even know what I was saying now.
I'm sorry.
She threw me on a track here. But yeah, it's like, who knows? Maybe that's really what it was as a possibility, too. Because if you think about it, oh, there's also the possibility that there was a leak in the rail yard that just never was reported, because there was a large rail distribution center in Mattoon as well, too. Because I'm sure there was, because of all the industrial manufacturing.
Yeah.
And their food, their agricultural sources going into the war effort, plus the air army base. So you already got all the groundwork for that kind of thing to go on.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility, but I don't.
We'll never know.
Yeah, it could be one of the sealed files that never will be declassified without being, you know.
It's in area.
Area 51 or
Area 51. Or it's actually in an area called Area 52, where all of the like cryptids and.
Yeah.
All this kind of shit is classified. It's not aliens. Aliens is just Area 51.
Right.
Area 52 is all the extra shit.
Like where this. The Ark of the Covenant and all that story.
Yes. All the other weird random shenanigans.
Where it's being happens. Examined by top men.
Top men. Yeah.
Or something. I don't fucking know. Just trying to get that transatlantic accent out there again. Or whatever we want to call that voice. My old-timey radio voice.
That's what it's called, transatlantic.
I know.
There's a chick on TikTok that speaks with transatlantic accent, and it's quite nice.
So, yeah, that's just my thought. Could have been a government thing, too, early on before, you know, CIA and all that stuff started doing all that stuff.
That's what you were talking about before I spanked Lugosi.
Yeah, before she spanked the potato loaf, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just my personal opinion that it could have been an early government experiment before, you know, the CIA existed or we knew of its existence.
Yeah.
Basically.
It could be.
So, hey, what happens if we use this on people since we are at war? You know, because even during those times, the Germans had volunteers during World War I and World War II about gas attack. Well, not so much during World War II. They voluntold people, unfortunately. But more so during World War I, they actually had volunteers to don't do it again. She keeps distracting me, trying to spank Lugosi again. They actually had volunteers during World War I on to see the effects of gas. Yeah, people actually volunteered for it.
I wish you could hear my face right now, because it's very, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look into that maybe as an episode. Yeah. As a human monster or whatever, but not copy Kevin's work on that, because from their asshole eliminator tournament that they did.
Asshole eliminator? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing that they do is the asshole eliminator. Yes. They change it every year, but next time they do it, when they come back off their break, probably they're going to do it in March, because they do around March Madness. They're going to do positive people this time around. Because
really?
Yeah, because it takes a toll on them to do the asshole eliminator tournament, just hearing about shitty people for weeks on end like that. I mean, granted, that's what we do, but
You have the tendency to put your positive stuff in there.
Right.
Like God's Rambo and Mila.
Malenka Savage.
Malenka Savage. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the.
Cliff Young.
Yep.
Is that who you're thinking about?
Yes. I was going to say the runner, the Olympic guy.
The Olympic guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're pretty good at bringing like the shine and the light to my dark.
It's like a stupid video I made for Twitch of skeletons dancing in a rave, and I put it to the Cascadia Every Time We Touch song. That's kind of like how our episodes are.
I hate that song so much.
I'm sorry. That's how my brain works. I saw that video. I was like, I got to put this song with it.
There's so many other songs you could have picked.
Sorry, that's the song my brain picked first.
Well, your brain was smooth in that area.
I guess so.
Just like Lugosi's all the time.
Yeah. But if you actually do want to listen to more cryptid type things, go check out the Real Creature feature where Matt Kolinsky, that has a background in biology, this has a discussion with his friends about cryptids and other mythological creatures on if they actually could exist or not, which can be found just about anywhere.
Have they done the Michigan Melonheads?
I don't believe so. I think they look more so into you know,
the animal type cryptid.
Yeah, like Bigfoot, griffins, stuff like that is more what they look into.
Not so much just urban legend-y kind of thing.
Yeah, not like the Michigan Mellowheads where, you know, it was an actual medical condition and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then also, I mean, I want to keep going because I haven't done this in a while for anybody and they keep shouting us out. So everyone's getting a shout out this episode.
Yay, shout outs.
So yeah, like I said, Matt Kolinsky and the Real Creature feature. You know, Kevin C. and Kevin Heyer.
Kevin C. and Kevin H.
Yep, of Dark Windows Podcast, even though they're on a break. Hopefully, you know, they come back soon.
Hopefully not long.
Yeah.
They're our buddies.
My weeks are thrown off because you guys aren't putting out episodes now.
What the fuck?
Because I listen to your guys' Patreon on Mondays, and then your guys' regular episode later on through the week with ads, so you guys get double revenue from me, but anyway. You know, and then, you know, we have to say, you know, the Scatcast Network as well, too, because, you know, the creator of that, he went well out of his way for us on, you know, the Bat Township episode. So, yeah, go listen to Scatcast if you want to go listen to some sketch comedy stuff and whatnot.
If you're into that sort of thing. Yep.
And then they also have an episode, they have a show that does things similar to ours as well. And then, you know, Justin Rimmel of the Mysterious Circumstances podcast, he helped us out along the way with a bunch of questions at the very beginning.
Yep.
But also then Leonard over there at the Remedial Scholar podcast, he does on his own. He does a lot of history stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like, he did an episode on art stuff, which I didn't find, this is going to be not that interesting. But after starting listening to it, it actually was, because it had to do with talking about some of the controversial things with the art and the weird shit people did to him.
Yeah.
And then you got Leonard over at the Remedial Scholar, which he also does that with his buddy Steve on the West of Nowhere podcast.
Leonard and Steve?
Yep. Leonard and Steve on the West of Nowhere podcast.
Lenny and Stevie.
Two battle buddies that basically, you know, talk about current events and whatnot. And
yeah.
It's a good listen to because they put their own commentary with it. So, yeah.
Got anybody else?
I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
I can.
Who am I forgetting?
Our two fantastic Twitch moderators and friends, Noodle and Minnie.
Yep.
We love you guys.
Yep. And then, you know, unfortunately, there's way too many people that we've met through Twitch. So we get, I could go on for another 20 minutes probably with names of people that.
I'm sure you could. And that's probably where people are going to be like,
no,
we're done.
There's, you know, I'm going to mention people that have, you know, they've gone another way that I've built forged relationships with on there that have automatically, when I actually enter their chat, I type anything in there.
Yeah.
We have an automatic shout out.
Yeah.
So I would like to thank Liz Snoke, Two's Cheese Nips, Skibble _ V. You need to come back too, buddy. My lunch break's not the same without you. You guys are throwing, you know, everyone taking breaks at the same time, just screwing up my days. But Skibble _ V, Heavy 0704, Blue Wander 478. These are all people on Twitch. Go give them a like, whatnot. Tell them Cab Emporium sent you. Berserker Kamikaze. He's helped me out with a lot of the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, Noodle Ninja and the Mini Battle Scan are two moderators.
Yes.
For Twitch, watching for bots and any other things along the way so I can keep on going and not having to stop what I'm doing or in between.
They're very good at what they do. They're also very good at making clips of you being scared or saying really stupid shit, and it's fantastic.
Oh, I know. I'm surprised Noodle hasn't taken and put any of that stuff together in a video yet.
I know. But now that you said it, go ahead, Noodle. Yeah. We're waiting. Where's the video at, yo?
Yeah. That's why I made you the channel editor.
Yeah. Duh. She's an editor. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I did that so she could pull clips and make the videos.
Noodle.
She must have forgot about those.
Probably.
But anyhow. I think that's everybody from Twitch that I can think of off the top of my head. If I forgot you and you have listened to us, I'm sorry. It was not intentional. I forgot your name. But it's greatly appreciated that you listen and you come and hang out in the stream, just lurking or whatever.
That counts for the podcast portion, too. Every single one of you that listen for the past 2 years now.
Yeah.
Like, we appreciate the absolute fuck out of you.
Yep.
Everybody that comes to watch David and I, or David by himself, or David and Noodle, or David and whoever play games, we appreciate the fuck out of you too. Right.
And go back to Twitch. Fun Twitch story, though. Just watching Two Cheese Nips one night, and she mentioned the podcast, and one of the people in her chat asked, what kind of stories do you guys do in the podcast? So, you know, I started doing my thing and I was like, yeah, we cover true crime and history and we do figures of historical significance. And for an example, I had just happened to pull Malika Savage out of off the top of my head as an example, you know, about it. And they were like, oh my God, she's from my country and she is a war hero. This person that was asking about the podcast and basically sealed her into listening.
Yeah. So. Awesome. It just goes to show that word of mouth is usually the best direct route to promoting something that you guys enjoy. So if you enjoy us, promote us. Tell your friends about us. Tell your coworkers. Tell your family. Just whoever.
Yep.
We're always down for new listeners.
So before this rambling continues to go on here, I think it's time we get out of the important for the day, Sarah. What do you think?
I agree.
So until next time.
Remember to creep it real.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.